Influencers is brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I am your host, Lady Shima. This show is a platform to highlight the transformational impact of global and national influencers who use the power of their influence to promote positive change. We also bring focused attention to the personal stories of influencers with the hope that their tenacity in the face of hard-hitting challenges and their unrelenting resilience will inspire the comeback spirit in every local and international listener. And today we delve into the story and heart of a giant of a man who is often described as an advocate for the poor and a champion for the marginalized. He is the founder and president of Great Commission Ministries International, which has a global mission of planting churches, orphanages, homeless shelters, and feeding centers here in the Bahamas and other nations throughout the world. The chairman of Citizens for Justice, he fights for the rights of victims of injustice and the oppressed. For years, he fought for others, but recently, the time came where he needed others to fight for him as he faced the battle of his life with a diagnosis of stomach cancer. Since then, he experienced a miracle. Today, we hear from influencer Bishop Walter Hanchel on the topic, Bahamian Society Needs Heart. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Sawyer Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786. ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices. Welcome back to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I am your host, Lady Shima, and with me today is influencer Bishop Walter Hanchel. He is the president of Great Commission Ministries International, also the chairman of Citizens for Justice, as well as the 2018 ICORN Award winner for his works as a humanitarian. Welcome to the show, Bishop. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Lady Shima. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
Thank you so very much for agreeing to be here with me today. There is so much that has happened in your life between now and the time that I last interviewed you, which was years ago. And of course, you have had many experiences that's really acted as a pivoting point for you. And we're going to be talking about some of those experiences in a bit. But I always love to start off the show giving my guest the opportunity to take us back, because there is always the influencer of the influencers that I have the privilege of interviewing. And of course, we know about your humanitarian, your work as a humanitarian, as a philanthropist, as a
civic organizer and outreach kind of bishop and minister and ambassador, but who impacted your life and influenced you as a young man about around your teenage years to become this great man of religious leadership that we see today?
Well, that's a very good question. Let me say, first of all, that I've had a lot of good times. I had some challenging times, but I want to declare today and I want to let everybody know that my good days far outweigh my bad days. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful to be here, to be alive. My life is a testimony. But I'd like, in answer to your question, mm-hmm. I'd like to say the person that influenced my life the most was my dad, Edward Lewis Hanschel, who was affectionately known as Uncle Ed. He's passed on now to glory. Mm-hmm. And he was this man had the biggest heart, even up to now, that I know of anybody that I've come in contact with. He was a person who just loved to give and loved to help people. And I guess it was just a natural thing for me after, being around him so much. And so he was my hero, my role model. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for his memory. And I'm proud to say I'm like my dad.
That's really awesome. You know, that's a wonderful testimony because, of course, we know, especially within this region, that there's this problem of absenteeism when it comes to fathers in the home. But you have the privilege and the testimony of saying that your hero is your dad. Yep. And that he is the one who had such a great influence upon you having this great heart as a humanitarian and philanthropist. And do you believe that you're, in effect, carrying on his work as his son?
I believe so. Well, I'll tell you, my dad was a person who he had such a big heart that he would take in entire families into our home who traveled from the family islands and he would give sacrificially and with all that big heart, I'll never forget him taking me to church every Sunday, sometimes 2-3 times on Sunday.
Wow.
And of course he was part of a good religion, a good denomination. He was an Anglican. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for the Anglicans. And you know, of course I'm an Anglican at heart, and I believe I'll always be an Anglican.
Okay.
I grew up in Anglican church between mostly at St. Matthew's out east. My dad was a member there, and he would take me there all the time. But you wouldn't believe this. I had the privilege when my dad was about 75 years old. Mm-hmm. I had the privilege of making sure that he had eternal life and that he would spend eternity with the Lord. So I led my dad to the Lord when he was 75.
75 years old. Wow. Yes, what a testimony.
And I put him in a new converts class. Mm-hmm. And then I baptized him on Goodman's Bay with a lot of young people. He was the eldest in the class. And he lived on to be 92. He lived to be 92 and he died in Christ. So I know that one day I will see him again. And I'm so grateful for that.
You had a very, very special privilege there because there are many persons who don't have that same kind of personal testimony and journey to say that I led my father or I led my mother to the Lord. So that is something that is especially unique to you.
Yes, well, that's something that God has gifted me with. I have a passion for souls. I think If you would ask me what is the one thing that I love doing the most as a Christian, as a leader, I would say winning souls. There's nothing in my life that's greater. Everything else is second. I'm a soul winner. I'm a missionary. I'm an evangelist at heart. And that is what I do. I've been doing this from my first got saved, and I've been around the world. I've been into countries in Africa, countries in Southeast Asia, throughout the Caribbean, every mm-hmm. island in the Family Island, every inhabited island mm-hmm. in the Bahamas. I've been into every neighborhood in the Bahamas, except for the gated communities that are very difficult to get into. But mm-hmm. all the other areas, I've led teams and missionaries into all those areas. So mm-hmm. that's my passion, soul winning, mm-hmm. Reaching out to people who are hurting mm-hmm. and pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I believe in, and that's what I do.
You know, the answer to my next question, you know, may seem very obvious, but I want to ask you, why are you so passionate about soul winning? And the reason why I'm asking you this is because it is not usual. It is not your normal everyday experience to meet a religious leader, even though it should be, who is very passionate about soul winning. For, you know, in many instances, you would see where that person would be more interested in, you know, what comes with the title, you know, and materialism and how much I can get, right? But you hardly ever, and this is sad, but it is so, that the number, right, is really beginning to wane when it comes to religious leaders whose first passion and strong focus is that of soul winning.
Well, I remember when I got saved, I was passionate for winning souls from day one. And even though at that point I wasn't trained in evangelism and how to properly win souls to Christ, mm-hmm. I had the passion, and but I had a testimony. So I shared my testimony, and a lot of people got saved from my testimony. And as I got deep into the faith, I got trained. I went away and I got some intentional training mm-hmm. in evangelism. As a matter of fact, I was able to train hundreds of Christian leaders and many, many pastors throughout the Bahamas in evangelism, train wow. them and certify them, not only in Nassau, but in the United States and other places. That has been my passion. And consequently, I've been able to win thousands of souls for the kingdom of God over the years. I've lost count years ago.
Wow.
I know it's a lot.
Yeah.
And I've led many people to Christ who are now pastors. Matter mm-hmm. of fact, I had the pleasure of leading a pastor to Christ who was already a pastor.
This brings us full circle to what it is that I just said to you, right? Talking about the focus of many who find themselves in leadership, you know, within the uh-huh. religious sector, persons even pastoring a church, right? But the yep. focus not necessarily being the winning of souls, which it should be. But now you're talking about having this experience of leading someone who is already pastoring
already
to
pastoring
accepting
for
Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior,
yep.
which, of course, is supposed to come first, right? And then the call to pastor,
yes.
right? But you said something really interesting just now, Bishop, and that is, and we're going to get into talking about your powerful outreach and work with Great Commission Ministries International, but you said the phrase intentional training. You were yep. intentional about being trained when it comes to your purpose and call in the kingdom. There are some who don't see the necessity of training. Why do you believe, you know, because some persons, they're like, oh, I'm passionate about it. This is what I'm called to do. That's all I need. But talk about the necessity and the value of training, even when it comes to kingdom work.
Well, there was a gentleman by the name of Dr. D. James Kennedy in mm-hmm. Fort Lauderdale. He's passed on now, mm-hmm. but he started something that we call Evangelism Explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And I went away and got certified, got the intensive training, and I became a trainer officially. And I got to the point where I began to conduct clinics, and where I would bring leaders together, church leaders, train them how to intelligently and correctly win a soul to Christ, because
yes.
a lot of people don't know how to do it. Soul winning is like an art. If you don't know how to do it, rather than winning that soul to Christ, you turn them off. You drive them away from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask the wrong questions, if you don't do it properly, you turn them off. So I would recommend that every Christian, and matter of fact, every Christian should be a soul winner. If mm-hmm. somebody, see, Jesus told his disciples, he said, follow me. It's the first command. He said, follow me and I will make you
fishers.
What? Fishers of men.
That's right.
So if I take it like this, if somebody is not following Christ, or if they're not fishing for men, if they're not winning souls, that's a sign that they're not really, really following Christ. Because mm-hmm. the first thing he told us is say, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That means every single believer, every Christian, if you call yourself after Christ, you ought to be fruitful in winning souls, in expanding the kingdom of God, and bringing new souls into the kingdom. Every pastor has that responsibility. Every mm-hmm. church member has that responsibility. Every mm-hmm. believer has that responsibility. And it seems as though the church in the Bahamas, and I guess the church in general, don't have that as a number one priority. But you know something, my philosophy has been for many years, and I believe I will die with this. The first work of the whole church mm-hmm. is to give the whole gospel to the whole world. We need to go back to the basics. Mm-hmm. And focus on what the church is all about. The church is about building the kingdom of God. And the first way to build the kingdom of God is to bring souls into the kingdom. And that is done through the avenue of evangelism, missions, outreaches, and street meetings, whatever tool you want to use. But mm-hmm. It's important that the church get out of the four walls. And I've been preaching this for years. But
yes, you have been.
It's been falling on deaf ears for mm-hmm. the most part. For the church to get out of the four walls, mm-hmm. go to the people. Don't go to preach. Talk first. Mm-hmm. You go and you build a bridge of friendship. Let the people see you. Let them know you.
Relationship.
Relationship. You don't have to go preaching.
Mm-hmm.
You could get to that. You see, soul winning is hard work. You have to know how to do it. You have to plan it. And so if the churches would just get out of the walls and start walking the neighborhoods, meeting the people, talking to them, finding out what their needs are. Mm-hmm. Eventually, all of those persons, the door would be open for each and every one of them to make a decision for Christ. But the church is on a different agenda.
But you know, I must say here, Bishop Walter Hanschel, that you have definitely been very influential when it comes to really the church within the Bahamas. And I'm speaking about as a body, as a unit, as a whole within the Bahamas. That shift is definitely taking place, or it's probably already taken place. And that is, they are now seeing, the church is now seeing the absolute need and importance of going outside of the four walls, going into the community, the importance of outreach, the importance of developing relationships with persons within, especially persons within the surrounding community, where your physical structure may be located.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. And so, I mean, if you have a physical structure, a church within a community, those 100 homes within that same vicinity, they should know that you are there and they should be feeling your impact.
Yeah, but the problem is most of the churches are not doing that. We only have maybe 5% of the churches that are actually doing that, following that model. And if the churches would get out of the walls and impact the people right around them, this mm-hmm. country could be, this entire country could be evangelized in less than 2 years. And
in less than 2 years, wow.
Yeah, in less than 2 years, the entire country, if the churches, we have the mandate,
mm-hmm.
we have the Holy Spirit, we have the word. So all we have to do is go. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? To every creature.
That's
a mandate. That is the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And but we take it for granted, and mm-hmm. we don't take it serious, as you know, and it's time now for the church to really get back to being the church.
Most definitely. And I'm very, very glad to see that it's beginning to become what it is that you're saying it must be and should be. And we continue to be this person of influence when it comes to, you know, encouraging, especially those persons who lead, you know, religious communities and, you know, the body of Christ, the church, to really, you know, extend and go beyond the four walls. I'm glad to see that more of that is happening, especially with the pandemic, right? The pandemic sort of forced the church to have to come outside of the four walls, because all of a sudden now you had, you know, pastors and ministers all over the country having to learn how to use Zoom in order to connect the congregants and persons within the church.
The internet is good, but the internet is not sufficient. And, you know, streaming a service is not the same as going into community.
It's not
the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's better than nothing, but it's not the same thing. And it's time for us to just, you know, what the problem with the church is, we are too lazy and we don't take God seriously.
Wow.
We don't take our assignment, our mission seriously. Mm-hmm. And we have to go back to basics and focus on souls, I believe, and especially with so many people dying every day.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not just speaking about murder and, and violence. People are dying of sicknesses. People are dying from accidents. People are dying from natural causes. People are dying every single day. But most of these people that are dying are not prepared to die. You know, they may even being in church is not sufficient for somebody. You could be in church your entire life, every Sunday, and you could still miss heaven. Because, you know, a lot of people
believe that. That's a powerful thing you just said.
That this is by good, by just being good and attending church could save you. That can't save you. Mm-hmm. Come on. People, by now, every church should be teaching people the truth about salvation. You know, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, not of works. No good works could save. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So we need to understand that it's only by grace and by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we could be saved, nothing else. And people need to know that. They don't know that. So they die believing that because they did a few good acts that God will let them into heaven. But it doesn't go like that. You must be born again, born of the Spirit.
Well, you just took the opportunity just now, Bishop Hanchel, to let thousands of listeners know what it takes and what you must do in order to experience and to enter heaven. With that said, we're talking about the impact and the influence of the church and the work that you are doing as Bishop Walter Hanchel. And of course, when persons hear your name, one of the first things that comes to mind is the work that you're doing through the Great Commission Ministries International. And I was reading just a bit a couple of days ago and saw in one of our local news dailies that one out of every three persons in the Bahamas face some level of food insecurity. According to Hands for Hunger, another one of our nation's nonprofit hunger outreach organizations, and also in an article published by Borgen Project, it explained that food security impacts school-aged children and their ability to learn. So, of course, the impact of hunger is very far-reaching. Now, we see that building, we see that structure there on Wolf Road. We pass it every day. You see persons, vagrants, persons who are homeless, just coming there looking for food and looking for clothing. And
I'm for shelter.
And for shelter,
we focus on shelter also. We see, if you go back to Matthew 25, you will see exactly what every Christian is expected to do, what our assignment is. It's in Matthew 25, and a lot of the churches and Christians just ignore that passage, and we act as though it's not in the Bible. But Jesus said, "I was hungry, and you gave me food." He said, "I was thirsty, and you gave me drink." He said, "I was naked, and you gave me clothes." Mm-hmm. He said, "I was in prison and you visited me. I was a stranger and you came unto me." And the disciples asked and said, "Lord, when did we see you this happen to you?" In other words, they was trying to say to him, we never saw you hungry. But what he was saying to them, "As often as you do it to these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me." So a part of salvation is to take care of the people that are hurting. You're not working for that. You're already saved. So after you are saved, it's your responsibility to do what Jesus said in Matthew 25. And a lot of Christians and pastors and churches simply ignore it. And I want to encourage them. It's not too late. Do it. People out there are hurting. Get find some. It's very easy to do. Just walk outside. Walk out the church. Just go in a neighborhood, any neighborhood, and you'll find thousands of hurting people, people who have no jobs, people, some people who have jobs, but I call them the working poor. They're not earning enough. They're not making enough money to take care of themselves. So they're living, they're living in poverty. Mm-hmm. The poverty line is extremely, even though it's low, there are thousands of persons, of Bahamians living below the poverty line.
Below the poverty line.
And it's getting more difficult every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, the cost of living is so high, and people are just trying to rebound from not working for 2 years. And some people have been jobless before Dorian, before the pandemic. And it's just rough on so many people. Mothers, if you know what mothers are going through in this country right now, Lady Shima. Mm-hmm. I mean, I deal with so many mothers who are hurting so bad. Their children are starving. They don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. They're being evicted. They can't get a job. Some of them have 4 and 5 children. And I don't, you know, I'm happy that they had those children rather than abort them. You know, people are always talking about the single mothers. Thank God for the single mothers. They are mothers. Mm-hmm. They didn't kill their children. They didn't abort them. Mm-hmm. And what I don't like is that we have this generation today who mm-hmm. is promoting abortion. But I always tell them, your mother didn't abort you. Why do you want these mothers to abort their children? Your mother didn't abort you. You still here. Why are you promoting mm-hmm. abortion, which in my view is murder, mm-hmm. first degree murder, and you're murdering these helpless babies, these children. Well, I will never support abortion. Never.
You know, because once the conception has taken place, there is a life that accountability must be given for. There is a life. Once the child is conceived, there is life. And so that's a great and positive perspective there. But tell us a bit of the backstory, though. As I started to say, we pass that building, that structure there on Wolf Road every day. We see the bustling activity and the constant reaching out and providing for persons who are in need. But when did your big humanitarian heart actually formally structure and put into a formal organization kind of a presentation as Great Commission Ministries International? What happened on this particular day? When did it come to be? How? Who helped you? What's the backstory?
Well, Great Commission Ministry started unofficially in 1984, but officially it was launched in November 1987, which is 35 years now. And we've been serving the Bahamian community nonstop ever since, every single day. And we started out very small by opening what they used to call back then soup kitchen, but we have evolved from soup kitchens to feeding centers. But we started out with a soup kitchen mm-hmm. and a shelter, and then we grew to 3 shelters and a feeding center, and we started out very small, but the ministry grew to the point where We minister to about 500 persons every day with hot meals. Plus, we give out a lot of grocery to needy families and people that find themselves without a place to live. If we have bed space in our shelters, we would put them up in our shelters. If we don't have space, we would try to find a bed for them somewhere, even if it's in a hotel. But we just try to do our best to ease the burden that people are facing every day. And it's very expensive to operate a ministry like this because, you know, food is expensive, housing is expensive. Mm-hmm. And just to keep the operation open, it costs a lot of money. But somebody
Go ahead, finish that sentence.
No, I said somebody has to do it. And that's what we are called to do. So we just mm-hmm. do our best with what the resources the Lord has provided for us.
Yeah, I was just going to segue into asking you about specifically that. And that is, Talking about community partnerships, talking about networking with corporate Bahamas, because I'm listening to you, and about how many persons would you say per day actually walks through the doors of Great Commission Ministries International on Wolf Road? About how many persons per day?
We service about 500 persons a day.
My God, and, 500 persons every day.
And in addition to that, we take hot meals every day to the elderly and to the disabled every single day. We have the best food anywhere in the country, the best food. That's why people come to Great Commission. They need a good meal, and they keep coming back because the food is so good. And not only that, we serve it with love. And I told my staff, I said, the food has to be at a standard that if I'm hungry and I need to eat something, I could eat it. So I could go there any day and eat the best tasting food that we serve. And we are happy to say that I believe we'd be the best. We have the best food, the best cooks, the most loving staff.
Yes.
The most compassionate volunteers anywhere in the country. We mean this. We don't do this for money. We do this for service. We do this for the love of God. We do this because we love people. And so Great Commission Ministries is the real deal. We don't have any agenda other than taking care of people and looking out for their souls. That's all we have in mind, nothing else.
That's so good, Bishop Hanchel. And who's supporting you now to keep this ministry going? Who's supporting you to keep this outreach going as far as providing food items or, you know, monetary donations? Who supports you?
Well, let me say this. I am so grateful and so thankful that Great Commission Ministries has businesses that have been supporting us for years. We have churches that have been supporting us for years. Only a few churches. A lot of churches don't support us, but we have a lot of just about every church send people to us for help, and we help them. We don't turn down anybody. But a lot of churches could do better. A lot of churches don't give us a dollar, not a single penny. And they know what we're doing, but the pastors, that's not an agenda for them. So I guess some of them believe if they bless Great Commission, it'll make me look good. So I don't know why,
hope that that is not the case.
I hope that is not the case, but, you know, our people are so carnal these days.
Sometimes,
we like to compete rather than help one another, rather than make each other complete. We love to complete. We like to measure. And that's not good. That's not good for the country. That's not good for the kingdom. And every pastor should have a mission account. Great Commission Ministry is a mission, a home mission. We got churches. We got churches, like Evangelistic Temple. Mm-hmm. When we started 35 years ago, they've been helping us.
Wow. And they've never stopped.
We got churches like Dr. J. Sims, Christian mm-hmm. Life Church, every mm-hmm. month. Every mm-hmm. month. We got some churches that support us every single month. And mm-hmm. we got some committed donors that help us, some businesses that help Great Commission, but it's not enough. We need more, and I thank God for the faithful ones. So I'm not complaining. I'm just saying we're grateful for what the Lord has done.
To power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what the Lord has done, and I'm not complaining. I'm grateful that they have sustained us over the years, and we have grown. We've grown to the point where we've moved. We've worked into other countries. You know, we have. Done massive work. We've been into Cuba, we've been into India, we've been into Bangladesh, we've been throughout Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, we've been into the place Kenya many times. We planted churches, we planted orphanages, we planted food feeding centers. We've been doing this for years.
Now, when you say we, you're referring to Great Commission Ministries International.
Yes, Great Commission Ministries. Okay. We are a true global and international organization. It's not international just by name. You know, a lot of people say they're international, but they don't. Mm-hmm. They haven't even crossed the waters yet. But we've actually been into those countries, many countries, over and over over the last 30 years. We've been around the globe ministering. So that's why I can tell you I'm a missionary, and I thank God for the opportunity to go and minister to souls. We want souls. My wife has accompanied me on every mission trip that I've been on. And not only that, many times we take a team with us.
Every mission trip. That's amazing.
And they work and minister. And I mean, bring so many souls to the kingdom. We train pastors. We ordain pastors. I've held ordination services for pastors where I've been ordaining like 32 pastors in one service.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple services. So we know what it is to do ministry. We know what it is to plant churches.
You're doing a very outstanding and great work. And we're going to be talking more of this great work that you're doing on the other side of the break, Bishop Walter Henschel, as we continue to discuss the topic, Bahingian Society Needs Heart. And indeed it does. I'm your host, Lady Shima, here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. We're going to be back in just a bit.
There's this place you can buy quality men and ladies fragrances like Versace and Jimmy Choo for the best prices in town. It's easy to find with lots of parking and great customer service too. Want to know where? I'm talking about Sawyer's Treasures and Tings, located right next to Sawyer Studios in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 9 to 5. Call them now at 361-7299. Got it? Sawyer's Treasures and Tings at 361-7299.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarket on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices.
Gotta use the influencers.
Welcome back to Influencers, and I'm your host, Lady Shima, here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. And with me today is influencer Bishop Walter Henschel. Of course, we know about the great work that he's doing, not just here within the Bahamas, but also within the Caribbean region and within other nations of the world. And just before the break, we were talking about the wonderful work that Great Commission Ministries International is doing here locally and around the world. And of course, now I want to get more into what it is that you have experienced of late or recently. And of course, we know about your story. And I'm going to read this right before Bishop, I want you to talk about what it is that God has walked you through, an amazing testimony. And I read this in one of our local dailies, and it says here that the MP for Anglesden and Minister of Education, Glenys Hannah-Martin, she said of you back in May of last year in 2021, when reaching out to the nation to pray for you, open quote, Bishop Walter Henschel rented one little place on Wolf Road with the most broke people you could ever see in your life. And he put out a hand, a humane extension of love and relief to people in this country. And she went on to say, and so I want the nation to pray for this man and his family so that his strength is built and he is able to continue to be amongst us and to contribute to the well-being of us as a people. So we have ministers of government reaching out to the nation for your well-being because of the impact and the influence of what it is that you do. How do you feel about that, Bishop?
Well, I highly respect Minister Glenys Hannah-Martin. She's a great woman, very humble, and she's very compassionate about serving the people of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And I thank her for those comments and for requesting prayers for me. But I tell you why she did that is because when she's made that statement,
I had just
traveled to North Carolina to get a checkup because I was feeling very weak. Mm-hmm. And I was always accustomed to working 16-hour days for almost 40 years.
My Lord.
And, you know, so working three jobs, mm-hmm, and putting in 16 hours every day. And it never bothered me because I was always in good shape. Never was ill, always in good health and strong and healthy and took good care of myself. And all of a sudden I started getting tired. And the doctors in Nassau couldn't tell me what was happening. They knew something was wrong, but they didn't give me a diagnosis.
Right.
So my son told me to come over for a checkup. And I went to North Carolina. My son, Dr. Tejado Hanchil, mm-hmm, he invited me over. I went and I'll never forget when I left Nassau, when I got to the airport, especially when I got to the Atlanta airport, mm-hmm, they had to, you know, the distance is so long. They had to put me on in a wheelchair. That was the first time I ever sat in a wheelchair. Oh. I was so tired. Mm-hmm. And when I landed in North Carolina, I was taken straight from the airport to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors took all night examining me. And the next morning they admitted me into the hospital. And 2 days later, the doctor called me in his office and said that my prognosis is that they diagnosed me with stomach cancer. And he said that they have to remove two-thirds of my stomach. And he said, based on what is happening, I have roughly about 6 months to live. And of that news, all that bad news didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't bother me because I know in whom I trust. And
yes.
I know that God is a healer. And I also know that I'd seen God heal two different persons from cancer before in mm-hmm. my ministry.
Wow.
But my family, I wasn't going to take the surgery. My family told me, they literally begged me
mm-hmm.
and to take the surgery. And but before I had a chance to take the surgery, I started chemotherapy, and the chemo almost killed me. The chemotherapy is not good.
Mm-hmm.
The chemotherapy, I was one dose of chemo away from dying. One dose.
My Lord.
If I had taken that last dose of chemo, I would have been dead. And the doctor agreed with me. I tell the doctor, I said, I'm not taking this. I'm off of this. I'm not mm-hmm. I'm not taking this. Because I was so weak and I felt like I was dead. And every side effect you could imagine I had. And mm-hmm. Anyway, when I was 1 week, 1 month after I started taking the chemo, the doctor diagnosed me. Called me in his office and diagnosed me with kidney cancer. And I say, wow.
Stomach cancer to kidney cancer?
Yes, all in less than a month. So everybody thought, well, that's it for me. And people, I'm so happy that the Bahamian public prayed.
Oh, yes.
The churches prayed. Mm-hmm. And they had two national days of prayer for me. Mm-hmm. They I also had a lot of prayers from pastors, and I thank God for the pastors that reach out to me. The pastors in the Bahamas Christian Council, they reach out to me. I mean, with a lot of love. The bishops in the Bahamas College of Bishops, where mm-hmm. I serve as the first vice chairman, they reach out to me, and they just showed me a lot of love, prayers. And so I am so grateful to all of them. And but I decided to take the surgery,
mm-hmm.
Shema, and it lasted 9.5 hours. It lasted over 9 hours. And my wife, my daughter, Dr. Tamalia Gibson,
mm-hmm.
my son, Dr. Tejado, my mm-hmm. son-in-law, Pastor Marvin Gibson, and of course, Papa Boy, my grandson.
Yes.
And my son's family, they were there with me. And they were pacing the floor, they told me, while I was in surgery. And I came out of surgery. And the next day was my birthday. But I was like almost like a dead man. And I was so weak. for weeks. Matter of fact,
you were graced to see another birthday.
Oh man, I went about 4 months with no strength. When I say no strength, I mean I lost, I believe, 99% of the strength in my body. I was like a dead man in recovery after that surgery. And I couldn't eat. I went 3 weeks solid without eating anything. I had no appetite. I lost 40 pounds. The palm of my hands, the palm of my hands turned black. I was having nosebleeds. I had uncontrollable hiccups. Everything you could imagine, I had.
So and it was your faith that kept you during this time.
That's the only thing. The only thing I didn't lose was my joy, and I didn't lose my faith.
Your joy and your faith. Wow.
I don't know. I didn't, and I didn't lose my praise.
Yes.
I was weak, but I continue to praise God and thank God. And I told all of my friends back home in Nassau, I said, I don't want you to pray for me no more because you've already prayed. I said, what I want you all to do is to thank God for my healing.
Right.
For my healing. That's faith. See, yes. Faith is when you believe something before it manifests. So I was telling people to thank God. So I had a lot of pastors that came to visit me, a lot of pastors that came and to check up and prayed for me. The prime minister of the Bahamas, he came to visit me, Prime Minister Philip Davis. But I realized now afterwards, after he made a trip to North Carolina, visited me, spent about 3 hours encouraging me, and then he flew straight back to Nassau. I realize now why he came to visit me. Do you know why? He thought he was seeing me for the last time.
Oh, wow.
everybody thought that was it for me.
But they didn't realize that God had another plan.
Yeah, God had another plan.
He had another plan.
And him and Minister Fred Mitchell, and I appreciate that visit so much. And a lot of local pastors came and visited with me, and there are a lot of bishops in America. And they not only did they visit, but many of them came and they bought some money to help me with those high bills, you know, medical bills. I got some support from a lot of people. I'm so grateful. I remember even Minister Kevin Harris. He did
a special concert, I believe.
Yes, to help raise some funds. And I'm so grateful to everybody who helped. We had some people who did things in secret, of course. You know, so everybody don't like to their names to be called. And right. But I'm grateful to every single person who supported me. I'll never forget Bishop Neil Ellis in particular.
Yeah.
Man,
yes.
Bishop Ellis, he just
He helped you significantly.
He's a true friend. Not just helped me financially, but he would call me on the phone and check to see how I was doing.
Some moral support.
Yeah, oh yeah, full support. Full support.
You know? It really sounds like that's what really brought you through, Bishop. It's community, you know, community. Community helped you financially. Community helped you mentally, psychologically, spiritually, helped to keep your faith strong, helped to keep your momentum going, helped to let you know that you're going to make it, that we're here, we're rooting for you. That's so, so, so very important. I've seen other persons who were at death's door.
That's why I'm here. But let me just wrap this up. I'll tell you what happened. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was so weak, I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I thought I was dying. I felt like I was dying. And I decided one day to Google what are the signs of a person who's dying. And when I Googled that, I had most of the signs of a person who's dying. Yeah. And it was real serious. Mm-hmm. And but I remember when I couldn't eat. I couldn't eat for weeks. I remember my appetite came back very slowly. I can eat anything, nothing. And my appetite came back very slowly.
How long did it take for your appetite to come back?
Oh, probably about 6 months, 6-7 months, almost 9 months.
So almost you were being fed intravenously during that time, of course.
No, I was just starving. Intravenously, I was just starving. I couldn't eat anything. You know, I remember one time I could only eat some cornflakes and
experienced a miracle.
Everything else. But I'll tell you what happened.
Yes.
I started to get my appetite back very slowly. And then I started to get my strength back very, very, very slowly. And I remember when the doctor told me I could go back, I could travel back home. Mm-hmm. And he told me I need to come back in a few months for a checkup. I went for a checkup about 4 months ago, and the same doctor who gave me 6 months to live, I did MRIs, I did scans, I did blood work, the whole nine yards, I did it. And the same doctor that told me that he had to remove 2/3 of my stomach and part of my kidney and give me 6 months to live, that very same doctor looked me in the face in the front of my family and said, "Sir, there's not a trace of cancer anywhere in your body." That is a miracle.
That's thank you, Father. You,
if you've never seen a miracle, just look at Walter Hanschel. I'm
you
the miracle.
A living, walking,
I'm
miracle,
a living,
Bishop.
Walking, breathing miracle that God put before people to show his power.
Exactly.
And I made up my mind to give him all the praise and all the glory for the rest of my life. And what I'm doing now, I'm praying to people who are sick. I'm believing God for those people who've been diagnosed with cancer. And liver problem and kidney problem and those folks on dialysis and those folks with diabetes. I'm praying for all their miracles. I'm releasing miracles. I'll tell you how I got my miracle now. It was very simple. Getting a miracle is very simple. Anybody could create their own miracle if they know how to do it. My miracle was created.
How do you create a miracle?
God did it. I'll tell you how. It's very simple.
How do you create a miracle?
I'll tell you how. That's a good question. I'll tell you how you could create a miracle. There's the word of God. You only need two things to create a miracle. I don't care what type of miracle you need. There's only two things that are needed to create a miracle. Number one, you need faith in God and in the word of God. You need faith. Mm-hmm. You need faith, and then you need the word of God. Faith and the word of God. They need to be combined. So my wife would declare the word over me, and I believe every word. People would pray the word over me, and I believe every word. So it's my faith and the word. My faith and the word. I would scriptures like Psalm 118, 117, I shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. Scriptures like Jeremiah 30:7, where God said, I restore your health and heal
that's
your
right.
wounds. I was declaring those words. Scriptures like Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's the
that's
word.
Right.
When
that's
you take
right.
the word and you put your faith on top of the word, you could expect and receive your miracle. And that's what I did. I never wavered. There was not one day, as weak as I was, as sick as I was, I never one day believed that I would die. Even though I was at death's door. I never once wavered and believed that I was going to die.
Never so what you did just now, Bishop Walter Hanschel, was you just gave us the recipe, the formula to obtain a miracle, even if you are at death's door. That's
any
what you
miracle.
Just provided for us just now. That's
any
absolutely
miracle.
Amazing. And I'm hearing about the support system, but one name in particular I'm hearing throughout this entire interview today, and we're about to wrap up our conversation for today, and there's so much more that I would love to really glean from you, but I need to hear more definitely about your beautiful wife. What a great support. What a woman of grace and knowledge and spirituality. And of course, I speak of Elder Melanie Hanschel.
Oh, yes.
She's about her support system, a gem.
That's my lady eagle. That's the best thing ever happened to me. She was with me 24/7 for a year and a half, nursing me, praying with me, believing in me, believing for my miracle. So I thank God she's a key part of my miracle. Now, I'll tell you this. Anybody could get a miracle anytime. Now, I know that's a bold statement.
It is.
But let me explain that further. In the Bible, in the book of Mark, there was a man that came to Jesus, and this man was blind, he was deaf, he was dumb, and he was demon possessed. Four different conditions, and Jesus touched that man and delivered him and healed him of all those four conditions one time.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
This one person got four miracles one time. So if God could give one man four miracles, certainly he could give you one. So I always tell people, you deserve a miracle. If one man could get four, you deserve one.
And I love that perspective.
Yes.
I've never heard that perspective before.
And then the woman with the issue of blood,
yes,
who was sick for 12 years, who was bleeding for 12 years. Okay, watch this now. This woman heard that Jesus was in town. She had already spent all of her money, been to all the doctors. The doctors couldn't help her. And you know how doctors are? When you run out of money with doctors, they become, you see the other side of them.
Of course.
When your insurance is finished, mm-hmm. your insurance is canceled and you have no more funds, then the doctors are not so kind anymore. You don't see them smiling that much now then. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this woman, what happened to her, it was that she had lost everything, lost all her friends, all her contacts. And she heard that Jesus was in town and she went to him and she went on her knees and she touched him from the back. She just touched his clothes, touched his garment. And because her faith was connected, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. But I want to share this. This mm-hmm. same woman, nobody prayed for her. Nobody laid hands on her. She created her own miracle by her faith. So all you need is faith in God and the word of God. And you could create any miracle. I don't care if you need a financial miracle. Mm-hmm. Some people go bankrupt. They lose everything. Or they are on the verge of losing everything, you can get a miracle and God could restore all of that right back to you. Everything back. If you have faith in God and you stand on the word, I don't care what it is. I don't care what you lost. I don't care what you need. The power of the word of God, the power of your faith could create any miracle. And there's somebody right now who hearing this right now, they are down. They are down.
They need a miracle.
In their life, they need a miracle. I want to declare to them right now that you could get your miracle is available right now. The Bible said, now faith is, not tomorrow. You could get your miracle today. If you're waiting for tomorrow, it's not a miracle. You could get your miracle today. And then John 14:14, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus saying this. He said, you shall ask anything in my name mm-hmm. and I will do it. That's a miracle scripture. That is a miracle scripture. This is the word that I stood on. You shall ask. He said you can ask anything. That means whatever you need, whether you need a financial miracle, whether you need healing, whether you need deliverance, whether you're in bondage to, you get these habits, whether you're in a situation where you're about to lose your home or lose your job or the doctor give you a bad prognosis and the doctor tell you that you have cancer or you have kidney failure and you're about to die. Well, what you need is a miracle. You need what I got. You need what I needed and what I got and what I believe God for. I believe God for a miracle, and the Lord gave me a miracle. And I thank God for his grace, for his love, and for his mercy. I stand on the miracles of God and his favor and his grace upon my life. And the same thing that God did for me, he's no respecter of person.
That's right.
He will do it for anybody. He'll do it for all of us. Because he loves us all equally.
It's the power of the word and the power of faith.
Faith. That's all you need. Nothing else.
Powerful word here today, Bishop Walter Hanschel. Thank you so very much. Such a great influencer, not just here in the Bahamas, but around the world. But I don't want to let you go just yet. I just want you to take about a minute or two as we end today's show. And that is, I want you to comment on the social state of our nation, looking at the murder rate, it's always in the news, looking at what's going on concerning illegal drugs. I saw a story the other day where 245 marijuana plants were found in Western New Providence, estimated about around $200,000. And you know, the news, it goes on and on and on. What's the answer for what it is that we're seeing as a society here in the Bahamas? What's the answer? What do we need to do as a people?
Well, first of all, you must understand the times that we're living in. We are living in the last days. This is the end time that we're living in. Anybody who don't admit that, anybody who can't see that, they are lost. They are lost. They are deceived. If you can't tell by the scriptures, by the word of God, that we are living in the last days, you missed it. You missed God completely. So because we're living in the last days, there are certain things that were prophesied in the scriptures that will happen. For example, men will be, and the Bible says in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. You see that happening? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, people you see all this hatred, and we see all these things that are happening. This the pandemics, the famines, mm-hmm. all these things. Listen to me. Nothing. No amount of prayer could change mm-hmm. that, because scripture and prophecy must be fulfilled. Now, what we could pray for is that God would save these people and deliver them and help them to go through what they have to go through. And if the way things are going right now, it is bad. But I got to tell you, I got to say something that some people might not want to hear. Wow. But it will get worse, according to scripture. It will get worse. Mm-hmm. So my advice to people is to prepare yourself, get your soul right. I wish you need a different program just to deal with the social issues and the end time. It is so deep.
Very much so, because there are so many to talk about.
Yes.
Doing such a great work. Thank you so very much for your time, influencer Bishop Walter Hanchel. I really, really enjoyed having you on the show today.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Until next time, blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.